is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely gorgeous...
A bird on a bike.
Miss on a bike.
How you doing?
How the hell are you?
I'm all right, you?
Yeah, I'm okay. What have you been up to? Stuff.
Just normal. Just
stuff.
You say it to me every week and
normal.
I'm like...
Normal.
I'm just...
You and...
Spoke to my publisher yesterday. That's all looking amazing. Very interesting.
Mm.
We're just doing covers at the minute and colours and what? Why would you? Okay, so I'll ask you.
Yeah.
Why would you choose a book if you didn't know what it was about?
You're asking me to choose a book by its cover.
Yeah, I suppose. So, what do you look at as a book cover?
Well, see, I buy digital books now. They don't have covers. Ha ha! That threw you, didn't it?
Well, you're supposed to be helping me, not throwing.
No,
me.
No, that's what did it. No, I do. I buy digital books now. But yeah, once upon a time, you would first be attracted by the cover. Yeah.
Right.
And the title.
So the title?
Yeah.
It would be the title that grabs you, or black writing or white writing. It gets intricate.
Well, normally for me, it's the title, it's the content of the title that grabs you. You know, it's a bit like a sun headline, isn't it? Freddy Starr ate my hamster. And
yeah,
you think, oh, wow, I need to read that.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Oh. Yeah. Well, what have you got? What have you come up with? What colour's the cover?
We're going naturals because it's a 5-book process, so we've had to do
Serious.
A 2.5-year launch of it.
Can you fade the colours? So start off beige.
Beige.
Yeah, beige.
Go
with me on this. Start with beige and then gradually get darker as the series unfolds.
What, into the blackness of womanhood?
So, yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
right.
So the last one is complete mahogany, yeah?
Who chooses? The last time I ever came up with mahogany was I had a school uniform that was brown.
Did you?
Never again.
Did you go to the Maidstone Girls Grammar School?
No, because I'm not from here, am I?
Oh, no, you're a pirate, aren't you?
Yeah.
I forgot.
You'll laugh. I had the window cleaner come round today and he was coming round. It's very interesting. So he was saying, oh, I'm a new window cleaner. Mm. Do you need your window cleaner? I said, well, tell us how much it's going to cost and blah, blah, blah. I said, tell me a bit about you. He went, what? I said, well, I don't know who you are. Tell me your business.
Hold on. You interviewed your window cleaner and you've turned it into a podcast. Yeah, yeah, okay.
I laughed so much. Anyway, he's a fireman.
Yeah.
And he went, well, you're not from these parts, are you? I went, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so no, I'm not from here, am I?
Was he any good?
Well, I don't know. I've just...
Oh, he hadn't done your windows yet?
No.
No, you spent too much time talking, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, so...
Yeah, cool. I want to say a huge thank you to today's show sponsor. Who are the lovely folks at Kent Musculoskeletal Clinic. They're specialists in ultrasound-guided joint injections, and you can find out more about them by going to their website, kentmskclinic.co.uk. Huge thank you to them.
He was on last week.
Well, Suresh, who's the owner, was a guest on here last week, yeah,
right.
Talking about the kind of work they do, the physiotherapy work they do. Yeah.
Yep.
Good stuff. We'd like to hear from you, though. All you businesses out there in the southeast of England, you can get in touch with me in all the usual ways. You can call me. On 01303-220035, Ashford 01233-220035. You can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. We have had some tweets in.
Not as busy as last
no,
week.
No, they're holding back, aren't they? They're waiting for a GIF war again, aren't they? I can sense it building.
No,
I can.
It was kicking off last week. It was crazy. But this week, very quiet. How was the business summit?
It was good, yeah.
Friday. What was good about it?
Yeah, it was good. They changed the format, so there was no big presentation. There was a welcome from the Mayor of Canterbury and the Chancellor of the University, which is great, while we were all having breakfast. So there was no big seminar talks. What there were loads of workshops that you could go to. I went to a few workshops on both skills and digital and technical skills, and that was a big part of what people were talking about. But there are other topics they covered, like transport and stuff like that. Oh, here we go. Look. This is the latest she's ever been.
Oh, you're looking
and you know,
very French.
You know why? She's come from the 1970s.
It's like Barbarella.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. That's exactly what I thought.
Is that right?
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
This is the latest you have ever rocked up. That is proper rock star.
Okay, we're live on it. I'm sorry.
You're not got your mic on because you haven't been here.
Yeah, I'll even put your mic on.
I'm sorry I'm late. It's because I left the office late.
Yeah, because...
Really?
Yeah, because your office is at least 400 yards from here, isn't it?
Hold on a minute. It is a long way away. It's across... Ashford.
Don't start defending her. Don't start defending her. She's late.
Paddles out and everything.
Very beautiful.
I love the hat.
Me too.
Can I borrow it?
I used to have one of those back in 1974, obviously, when they were fashionable.
When they were in.
And luckily I can't swear on radio.
You could, but I'd turn your mic off. Cool. Welcome, Nettie.
Thanks.
We've now got a packed studio and we've got loads of guests that you're going to hear from today.
Before you go off it, Business Summit.
Oh, sorry, yeah, you were asking me about that.
We went off track.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you go to the Business Summit?
No, miss.
No. Well, she did, but she was late. She arrived Saturday.
at least you arrived. I didn't.
Yeah, true. No, it was good. It was good. And it was a better format. And there was, I don't know how many, I would guess 400 or 500 people there.
I like that when an event sees where it didn't work last time and then they absolutely adapt and grow the next year.
Absolutely.
Which is what it should be all about.
And that's exactly what they did. There was loads of interesting workshops, loads of good feedback, lots of people interacting with it and talking about stuff. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. No, it was a good event. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I'll tell you what. Do you want to read something? You can read an email or you can read a tweet. I don't mind.
Oh, a choice. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read an email because it's always good when you open up with women and girl projects in Kent and Medway.
Yeah.
Receive major funding boost, which is very interesting. Very, very interesting. It is. And I'm loaded finger because
she's
obviously...
She's got a loaded finger pointed at me.
This is my arena. Because actually funding is one of the major things that women don't go into business for because of their lack of ability to get it. Not their ability, but their diversity in which they don't get funding. Very interesting study. Anyway, let's go back to this. Women and girl projects in Kent Medway receive major funding boost. Grassroots groups working in Kent and Medway get much needed grants worth £89,000 to help and support women and girls. This is the second time Kent Community Foundation has awarded funding from the Tampon Tax Community Fund to local groups supporting women and girls experiencing issues such as period poverty, domestic and sexual abuse, and poor mental health. Some of the projects being funded by Kent Community Foundation from the Tampon Tax Community Fund include Ashford Vineyard Church. Ashford Vineyard Church runs the Beehive and Secondhand Women's Clothing Boutique. I love all this. This is big at the minute. The Beehive is also open to women who can't afford clothing or who have been referred by local services to receive items free of charge. And since January 2019, they have also been given £3,500 worth of clothing to women in the community. Now, the grant of £9,500 will be used to pay for a member of staff to support and volunteer the programme. That is the way to go. I love this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which provides key skills-based training to help Beehive volunteers secure future employment. You need to go to www.ashfordvineyard.org/the Beehive. Now, I love this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if people believe it to be true that we have poverty.
Well, it's relative, isn't it? But, I mean, you know, but yeah, people struggle.
They struggle with understanding that there is poverty right underneath your nose. And even if you look, you won't see it. I can remember when I was a long time ago doing my nurse conversion, as in going to do a master's in nurse practitioner. And you go into these little pockets of community, so a thing called Sure Start.
Mm.
And I went there, and this is in Folkestone. So I live in Folkestone, you know, you see it, and you think, yeah, we're quite a thriving, Kent's a thriving, rich area.
Mm.
And I met two girls who literally, and bear in mind, I'd been a sister in A&E for 10 years, so I've seen and touched and felt people, I suppose, in that social
and
economic
blood
groups.
And limbs, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they said they had 20 pence to last them.
Yeah, yeah.
For 8 days. I cannot even imagine 20p lasting me a second. That's the perspective of that is crazy.
Yeah.
So there is poverty there. It's just we don't understand it, see it, feel it. Or is that our arena? So
yeah.
I love this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right from every level of that. I think the danger with these kind of discussions is people, if you use words like poverty, it gets confused. If you say people can't afford to live, everybody relates to that, because even if you get a lot of money, it's sometimes difficult to make ends meet. Yeah. And one of the things, I had a big conflab with someone on Twitter about this the other night.
They were conflab?
Yeah.
Don't you mean argument?
Yeah, well, I was trying to be nice. I beat
you've
the hell
been
out
nice
of him.
To them.
Yeah.
No, is it a word from the 70s?
Yeah.
Groovy.
Hey, mate, when I started work, I earn £8.10 and £6 a week. Don't come in.
All right, mate.
I earn £1.20 an hour.
An hour? You were rich. No. The point is the cost of living is what is hurting people. Yeah, it costs a lot to do anything. And that's where we need to look at things. And you're absolutely right. You know, some people just don't survive. They just, you know, they claw their way through things.
Well, they are surviving.
Yeah.
They're just not in that arena, which we understand.
Feeling more comfortable about
it. You got it.
Which is why we have such an incidence of stress and anxiety in society, because, you know, people are trying to struggle to survive. Coming back to Ashford Vineyard Church, what we need here are organisations to put in a bit of sponsorship and people to donate things to it, you know, clothing and stuff like that, good quality stuff.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be that either. It can be your time. It can be your expertise. It can be something that you have that they need to be able to fulfil this massive gap.
Yeah.
What do they actually, okay, this might sound a bit naive, but what do they actually need? I mean, you see this thing, don't you, dare we mention
great
her
question.
With Megan, you know, where she's helped these charities put together interview clothes for ladies and so on. What do they actually need? It's all very well people saying, I'll contribute this, that and the other, but you also don't want a big stack of stuff you can't get rid of.
For sure.
You know, is it a case of people that are going for their first job interview for years need a smart dress or this,
let's
that
get specific,
and the other?
You mean.
Yeah, if that is what they need and they're not going to, I assume these people can come and say what their situation is and they're virtually given this stuff, you know, is that how they're doing it, or is it a charitable donation to buy it? I don't know.
Be good to find out. It isn't specific in that here, and I think it needs specificity.
That's a word.
And another word I can't say is trajectory either.
No, absolutely. And because sometimes when people ask for donations of items, some people see that as an excuse to dump anything they've got hanging around the house that they don't want. It's like when people ask for food and they get everything that's past its sell-by date. Cool. Okay. Going back to the Business Summit, I've had a tweet from Alison Palmer at the Federation of Small Business. He says, hello, Paul, at the Business Bunker. Thank you. Thank you for the shout out for the businesses who took part in last Friday's Business Summit. The organisers are delighted with the event, which is not possible without all the interested participants that took part. If you want to find out more, follow the hashtag still, which is still going on, and the hashtag is Kent Summit 2020, and there's still lots of things floating about and lots of discussions going on under that hashtag. So thank you, Alison, for that. We've had a tweet from the South East Business Show as well that says, hello, Vanilla Webb and Miss on a Bike. Business Bunker shout out, please. We're not-for-profit SME promotion and community organisation promoting businesses and events in the southeast of England.
Well, my finger's right on the button. It's not really. It's Amanda Flanders. Firstly, she's told us to no horsing around today, please.
Oh, don't start, yeah.
Oh, I don't know if that's for her or us.
No, she's having a go at me.
Oh, excellent. Anyway, she's given us some breaking news. LinkedIn is down. It's accessible, but not functionality.
We might as well all go home then.
What do we do?
Yeah, LinkedIn is down.
Somebody go and make a new platform, would you?
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, it's funny you should say that. I joined a new platform last night
called MeWe.
MeWe. It's a strange name, isn't it?
No.
But it's a Facebook alternative. And that doesn't do adverts or messing about or using your data or anything like that. It's called MeWe. It's literally just launched. You heard of it?
I've not heard of MeWe. Yeah. Have you heard of MeWe?
No.
Are you sure you're not making
I thought you were going to say you were on TikTok then. Can
you imagine that, Ben?
He needs to be Ben on TikTok. Yeah. It's the biggest growing platform.
Yeah. TikTok is crazy at the moment. The amount of content on there is ridiculous.
But have you seen what people are saying? Gary Vaynerchuk, you have to get on TikTok. Everybody's on there. Yeah. Even the body coach is on there.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I'm not.
Well, you're not even on, you don't even use Instagram.
Yes, I do.
No, you do not.
I've got an Instagram account.
That doesn't mean that you use it.
I post on it. I posted on it yesterday.
How many posts?
Well, yesterday.
Yeah.
One.
What we need you on is Instagram stories a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, do you know, I've not got to grips with stories. I mean, me and Instagram don't get on that brilliantly anyway.
could you imagine him singing a song on TikTok?
Yeah, I found a fault already with that. That's
idea.
Not going to work.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, though, I mean, I've always been a massive Twitter fan, but mm-hmm. Twitter have taken to suspending me on a regular basis now. So
it's because you're going to Piers Morgan on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I do have an Instagram account. It's getting a bit more thing, but I haven't got to grips with Instagram stories yet, and I'm definitely not on TikTok. But I have joined MeWe.
So who have you connected with on MeWe?
No one, because there's no one there, because no one's heard of it.
It's a terrible name.
To me, it sounds like potty training.
Sounds like the Shiwi.
It's a bit like a Shiwi, really, isn't it? Yeah. I don't think they thought that through somehow.
No, it's bad.
Cool.
Anyway,
well, you can do one more thing, and then we're going to play some cheesy chin.
Well, we've got lots of Twitter's going on. So we've got Lisa Marie Settle. She's only listening in live. She's but tuned in. Business have a good one. The Business Summit was great. Bird and a Bike and Vanilla Web. Amanda Flanders. Hi, Bird and a Bike, Vanilla Web. Have a great show. Keep it serious and no horsing around today.
Yeah.
Apparently that's for you,
me. She's back from the stables then.
Okay. Diamond Circles. Afternoon Rift. Annette. Hope you're well. Were you unwell?
No, it's because they sent me this.
I'm on the table. I've just said to my guests, don't bang. Don't be late.
It's the rabbit. Alice in Wonderland.
We're late. Yeah.
I'm late for a very important date. And yeah. I said, that's absolutely fine. Clearly, if I've made a New Year's resolution, it wasn't to be on time.
Good stuff. Do you know what?
I'm keen to know what you've decided to play.
What,
it's going to be something about beans or something.
Well, kind of. No. I agonised over this. And I went for something fairly...
Bear in mind their age.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so,
yours.
Yeah, exactly. So
not being rude. But if you go for 1970s, Nettie, it's wasted.
Apparently. Well, although I'm back there, it's like life on Mars.
Well, I picked
Barbarella.
What it actually says on our song database is music from the 2000s for this.
Okay,
it's Digital Farm Animals, Digital Love. Have some of this.
Hey, we got a good thing. Wish I had you right here with me all day. But I'm thinking that it ain't gotta be that way.
Is your face on a phone screen with a call and a message? Maybe we're gonna be okay. Oh, you gotta notice. I hear explosions whenever I see your face on my pillow. I swipe right, cause I see just what I like. Baby, I tap twice for you. I swipe right, cause I see just what I like. Baby, I tap twice
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my gorgeous co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike. Ah, that was Digital Love. Bit of cheesy tunage. I was quite circumspect there because I did a lot of playing around with things with Pip in them and stuff. Piperous.
I thought you would have gone with an obvious choice, like Zorba the Greek or...
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought that was well out of order there, but that was my first choice, funnily enough. I'm the Sabre Dance. Yeah.
Well, I've just educated you as well. Piperis means pepper. So you could have had some salt and pepper. That could have worked in there somehow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to redo it?
Should we do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've got lots of people saying that's a terrible tune.
Yeah, it was.
To be fair, that's really brought our ratings down.
Have you
seen the comments?
Well, that's the point, isn't it? It's cheesy tunage. That's the whole point. It's supposed to be terrible, but all these music aficionados over there listening to a talk show. What's the matter with them?
Aficionados?
Yeah.
That's 1974. I've just looked it up.
Thank you for that, Nettie. Entries are now open for the Best Business Events Canterbury Business Awards. If you're based in East Kent or the Isle of Thanet, they're free, simple and quick to enter. The gala dinner will take place at Broom Park in Canterbury on the 26th of March. To find out more information about the awards and to enter, if you go to
www.businessawardskent.co.uk,
you can find out all about them.
So is that we can apply for Canterbury?
Who's we?
Us.
Well, you mean the radio station?
Can they, the third person, you, can you?
Well, I'm hosting it, so it wouldn't be very good me applying for it and awarding the award to myself, would it, really?
Not you, but what area is this?
Canterbury.
I can't go for it.
No, because you're not in Canterbury.
I'm global, though.
Yeah, you're global, but we haven't got global awards.
No.
You're in the Ashford and South Kent area.
Cool.
Yeah. This is Canterbury. The Isle of Thanet, Sandwich, Ramsgate, Margate, Herne Bay. You guys can go in for it. It's a brilliant event, and the awards dinner is really good. It was at Broom Park last year as well. It was really good.
Talking of awards, do you want me to mention it now? People are going to think that I've been primed by you to mention this.
To mention what?
Is this Paul's award nomination?
Nomination.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
But people were going to think that he's told me to say it.
I've prompted it as well. Well, should we talk about it or not?
Is it relevant?
Is it business related?
Is it business related?
Oh, yes.
Tell us.
No, you brought it up.
I've got no idea.
I just read it.
I thought, isn't this the supporting that you've done for FSB with the 30-30?
Yes.
It is. Okay, tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, I don't know anything about it. I just got an email completely out of the blue.
When was this?
Yesterday.
Okay.
I got an email out of the blue that said, huge congratulations, your nomination for...
Who nominated you?
It turned out it was Alison Palmer. Thank you, Alison.
It was Amanda Flanders. That would have been even better.
Yeah, no. It was Alison Palmer. Yeah, and I didn't know I'd been nominated, but apparently I made it through to the final three in a national awards, which
That's
is nice.
That's really good.
That is good.
Good luck.
Yeah. That's like global awards, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, it's global. Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically it's for our work, not mine. It's for our work on the 30-30 programme that we take into schools. And that's what we've been
recognised for. Look how much work you've been doing to that for a little while now. What's that, 3 years you've been doing?
3 years we've been going. We've had 1,400 students go through the course so far and about 200 businesses. Yeah, so
it takes time.
Yeah, and it has now gone national. FSB are rolling it out as a national programme all over the place. It's even international. Yeah, on the Isle of Wight, they've had it.
That's brilliant.
Have you... go on.
No, I was going to say, I was just reading Paul's bit on Facebook about it, but it is that bit, isn't it, about careers programmes for Kent-supported employment work. And we've talked so much about the opportunities that are or aren't available, depending on how you want to look at it, for young people. I know that's something you're really passionate about, Paul. Yep. And obviously it's being listened to, and that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we can't have this one-size-fits-all and everyone going off to university.
Absolutely.
It doesn't work for everyone.
You know, it's really good. If we believe in diversity, we believe in diversity. And then trying to make everyone the same isn't diversity, is it? It is my opinion on it. And there's room for everybody. Everyone's got talent. Everybody, every single person, no matter what their state is, has a talent that's usable in some way. And in the UK at the moment, we have massive talent shortages. So it's about finding those pockets of talent wherever they exist and encouraging them into doing stuff that's useful. One of the things that has been a real eye-opener with the 30-30 programme is how Generation Z, that's the people that were born just after the year 2000 and are just entering the workforce now, what a different mindset they have to the millennials. It's a very different set of views, and it's a stark contrast to how millennials view things. And it's been interesting. It's been an interesting journey, and we've learnt a lot, as well as passed on stuff to them. We've learnt a lot from them because it is a two-way street, and one of the things I'm keen on is for businesses to understand how to employ young people and what young people want from the world of work. You know, I've probably told the story before, but I'll tell it again because it just made me laugh. A few sessions ago, there was a young lad there who was obviously a bit cheeky, but he was pretty smart, switched on lad as well. And he was having an interview with an old chap that ran a very conventional printing company. And the chap said to him, right, we start work at 9 and we finish at 5. And he went, let me stop you there. He said, I'm useless before 10 o'clock. He said, I don't get up till 10. He said, but then I'm in. I'll be in by half past 10. Not a problem. And the guy went, well, no, we start work at 9. And he went, no. He said, no, I'm not getting up then. I can be with you by about half 10. He said, but then I will work into the night because I'm a bit of a night owl. And whilst he was taking the mickey, this guy was the owner of the company, was getting a bit apoplectic about it all. But I said, do you know, actually, it's reality.
It's
flexibility. We live in a flexible world now. We live in a digital world. See where I'm going with this? This show's not just thrown together, you know.
Has he been planning?
It's linked and produced.
We spend hours hours in this interjection.
Right.
And we produce it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something really...
We've lost the link.
Here's the link,
Ben. And then she destroys the link. I set all of that up and then she talks about something else.
Here's the link. It's intertwined.
Yeah.
Talking about businesses. So here's... It really threw me. I was at a very famous pet store. And I'm sat there with Honey. That's my dog. She's more famous than me.
I've got a cat called Honey.
No way.
Yeah.
The best.
See, it's all linked.
She's the only name that's normal in my house. No. Our cat's called Chicken. I'll carry
what?
On. Yeah. Anyway, I'm stood there with Honey and we're just having a chat away. And this young girl comes in and they went, oh, you know, behind the counter. And they went, oh, you're in early. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a smoker, aren't I?
No, carry on. I'm interested in this.
Okay. So I went, I'm like, oh, you can see why. So she's been asked to come in by a company because she smokes and she drips in and out to have a cigarette and to make up her time off the job.
Yeah.
They make them come in earlier.
Well, I had a bit of reverse of that recently, talking to some guy who used to work in a business in Ireland. And he was saying that out there, when you've got smokers, for the same reason they go in and out of the business, all the non-smokers can finish early on a Friday.
Mm. I can add to that. Very, very interesting. We saw, actually, did we have this discussion? I saw this on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago, that there's a company in London who are offering non-smokers extra holiday.
Right, okay.
To sort of reverse engineer the effects of the smokers.
So interesting.
Time off. Yeah.
So this is really going back to how people employ and the employers and the effects on that. This is what's happening nowadays. And I love it. It just makes me laugh that we've got this identity and we've gone, the smokers.
Yeah.
Like they're this whole different breed of employment. Yep. Super interesting.
It is,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, talking about that, let's introduce our first guest.
can you get back on the digital wavelength somehow?
I just got the link all set up and planned there.
Talking about these guys, they're smoking hot. Come on, let's get on to that.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show, Piperous Philippaeus and Ben Pierce of Digital Beans. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Hello.
I'm all good. I'm lost now in the link world.
Did I miss a link then?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm ever so sorry, but it was very interesting about the smoking anyway.
I just want to talk
about cats, to be honest.
Cats called Chicken. Cool. Listen, welcome, guys. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's actually a pleasure to see you. One of you, I don't care which one of you, kick off and just...
And that's the way to really introduce guests.
I don't care who one of you speak.
Why don't you tell us a bit about Digital Beans, your history, how long you've been going, what it is you do, and then we'll go from there. Yeah, sure.
So I'm Pip, or Piperis. And,
do you know that means pepper?
I did.
In Greek, yeah.
It's memories I'm trying to escape from. getting bullied, but thank you for that. And I started Digital Beans about 10 years ago. And we're a digital marketing agency based just outside of Canterbury now. And there's now seven of us. Including Jack in the corner.
And we've got Jack in the corner who's busily videoing the whole shenanigans here. For Prosperity. Jack's your content producer, I guess, is he?
Is he with you all the time now?
No.
We're trying to escape him for a little while.
Not in the evenings,
It's quite interesting because as a business, we've invested a lot into content.
Yep.
You know, that's not just on LinkedIn, that's multi-platform. So Jack and the team came up with an amazing idea to start vlogging everything we do as a business to give people outside an inside look into agency life. We're quite open. We're really transparent in the way that we talk to people. So that's what the vlog is designed to do. So every week, Jack captures a lot of footage with the team. When we're out and about, I mean, I'm always at loads of networking events. Pip's obviously out and about doing really important stuff around the business and networking as well, looking at new client work.
Yeah.
He does a lot. He does quite a bit as an MD.
He does the filing and makes the tea. And
speaks to the accountant. That type of stuff. Jack records... puts it all together every week, and we have a weekly vlog that goes out across our Digital Beans platforms. And obviously, this week, a big thing for us is coming on and seeing you guys to Jack's
club. Absolutely.
How long's the vlog?
The vlog's usually under 10 minutes because LinkedIn doesn't allow you more than 10 minutes. Yeah. So we try to keep it around 9 to 10 minutes just so you can see everything that's gone on from the past 5 working days.
Jack, just to ask you, how long does it take you to create that content to bring 10 minutes on the air then? How long does it take you to edit and get it on there?
So it probably takes me a full day to edit.
And that's the interesting part.
Yeah.
That interests me more than anything.
Because
I agree with you. I think content is massive, but we all need a Jack.
It's not an easy thing. And it's the same with all you know, to rein it in a bit, with all avenues, I think, of digital marketing and the digital world nowadays.
Well, I mean, coming back to where I tried to link to earlier...
It wasn't wasted.
There's a number of themes here as well, which I kind of want to talk about as you're talking about the work that you do in Digital Beans. One of the things that we discussed back at the business summit last Friday was digital skill shortages. Yeah. I'll just throw a few things at you. So, for instance, in the UK at the moment, the UK is the number one fintech country. We're creating a new fintech business every 50 seconds. In the UK, okay, we have massive digital skill shortages, and I want to get your views on why that might be and what we can do about it. Also, talking about Generation Z coming into the workforce and flexibility in the workforce, d- the fact that everybody has some kind of digital presence, even if it's just a smartphone with apps on, we don't work in time silos anymore, yeah? My phone doesn't switch off at 5 o'clock unless I turn it off, and I don't. You know, I get emails, I get tweets, I get direct messages, I get stuff at all kinds of day and night. And it isn't just other business people. The other night I got an email at 10:30 on a Sunday evening from someone at Kent County Council saying, you know, would you do this? So, it's not just some entrepreneur that's just overcompensating and working through the night. Mm-hmm. Everybody works when they need to work. And I want to get your views on how you see the digital landscape at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, where do we start? So, I mean, I would definitely agree with the shortage, the skill shortage. Mm. Looking at our team in Digital Bean, so there's myself and two others that, so Ben and Josh, that acquired the majority of the skills in their own time when they were early teens. So just like myself, like, you know, 12, 13, just geeking around.
Yeah.
And then obviously that developed into a career. Obviously that isn't everyone that does that. And I think that is definitely where, certainly in digital, it creates, I think, great employees. And I think, you know, certainly the very geeky, high-end programmers would have done that in their own time.
Yeah.
Really.
They're self-taught, basically.
Self-taught.
Yeah.
I think at the moment you go into like institutions and schools and universities, having gone through that and having completed a master's as well, it isn't necessarily job-specific or thinking about where that's going. So, you know, I think involving industry more.
Mm. Well, I'll be interested in your thoughts on this. You know, one of the problems that I see with technology in general is that it doesn't fit the old style education model because you can't actually write a curriculum for it because it changes too quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the best you can do is teach principles. Yeah. You can't teach absolutely nailed on skills. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your feelings on that are.
I mean, I think it's quite interesting because I grew up at a time when a massive thing online was something called Habbo Hotel, which was a virtual world.
Yeah.
And within that came like fan sites.
Yeah.
And within those fan sites were radio stations.
Yeah.
And I grew up like being on the radio for these fan sites, but being involved in them allowed me to also start learning how to make websites.
Yep.
And it allowed me, as being part of that, to then have to promote the radio station or the fan site I was working for, which then led to a marketing skill.
Yep.
So just by doing those things when I was between 13 and 16, it allowed me to learn a little bit more as to how I would go about to either promote something, invest in myself to push it, or how to make a website, write content, etc. So for me, that was like a learning platform between the age of 13 and 16. That carried on to 18, and then I got more into radio, more into marketing. I think it's interesting. I think there is a section who were addicted to like gaming, like Xboxes and PlayStations, and that took them away from other worlds around them, and I was guilty of hitting the end of that. I think that function. I'm not slating gaming because I think it's come around now to the point where game streaming is a massive thing.
Yeah.
So people who are really into gaming are starting to become influencers within the gaming world in their own right. So they're using stuff like Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and all these different platforms to stream themselves playing video games, which they love doing. So I actually think moving forward, there's going to be a big generation of the 13 to 16 year olds now who are going to be social media gurus, who are going to be influencer gurus, which is why you're seeing influencer marketing starting to take off and digital marketing really starting to push because people of these ages are evolving and working within in different worlds of what's popular at the time. And I think that's sort of where it evolutionizes.
I think you're absolutely right, Ben. I don't know what your thoughts on this are, which is the other side of that, which is taking the completely other side of it and looking at taking conventional business and gamification of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, we've had that conversation today, to be fair, with someone, haven't we?
You know, and I see that, and I think you've just hit the nail on the head in terms of how people learn, how people acquire digital skills. But you're right, it's more than just the digital skills, isn't it?
Yeah.
By being involved in the gamification of this, they're actually learning other skills, even if they don't know.
Yeah.
And for me, as an old git, one of my big problems with education as it exists is it was always detached from reality. when I was at school, they try and teach you stuff, and you go, but why are you telling me that? You know, they go, you know, there's three of you in the playground, and two of you have got an orange, and one's got an apple. Who gets what? I don't care. I don't even like oranges. Yeah.
But it was purpose-driven.
Yeah.
It wasn't for the world we live in now, and we're 50 years, 60 years
exactly, but
out
we're still teaching
date.
People the same
of
way.
Of course we are.
Yeah, and that's what kind of gets me.
Well, I was going to say, looking at the shops and the industries now of the high street.
Yeah.
And the evolution of that. And I mean, I think that's why it's really important now for smaller shop front businesses to embrace stuff like digital marketing and the digital world.
Yeah.
And I always say this at going to networking events, it's so to speak my leading line all the time. You know, if you've got a website and it's not making you business or it's not making you money, you need to ask yourself, why is that?
Mm.
Because everyone's on the internet.
Yeah.
So why is your business why are you not making business online? I get the argument a lot at networking events, and if anyone else gets this, is, oh, all my work's referral. Understand that. Of course, a lot of work has to be face-to-face and you buy from people. But if you've got a website, it needs to be generating something for you because everyone's within that world.
But to be honest, Ben, as well, even with referrals, a lot of those referrals will come through our social media.
Yeah,
people go, you know, I get it all the time. People go, anyone know a locksmith or whatever? I go, yeah, talk to Jim in Bromley. He's really brilliant. and you know, you link people. That is the whole point of it. I saw some research, and I went back and looked at this time and time again because I just didn't believe it. I'm still not sure I believe it, but I saw some heavy research that said 76% of micro and small businesses have no digital presence as a business. I mean, 76%.
That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But I do think that is probably not too far from reality.
Yeah. And that's scary. It's really scary. And I think what they mean by that is business presence, you know, because almost everyone's got a mobile phone. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone's got a Facebook page, but they're personal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not using them for business.
That presence is also first impression, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we push a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How important is that first impression?
Yeah, definitely. And going back to the referral thing, I think, you know, we're a digital marketing agency, and I've known you for the best part of 10 years.
Yeah.
And for the best part of those 10 years, we were rubbish promoting ourselves, and we relied purely on referral, which
I did tell you this, Pip.
Non-digital.
Have you got that report?
All right. Must try harder.
Not non-digital. And the issue with that, and I think where a lot of small businesses fail is, and this is what I came to realize, quite late. I wish it was earlier. That's not scalable.
Yeah.
You can't scale referral. You can't predict how many people are going to, you know, remember your business and tell their friends.
Yeah.
So if you are ambitious and you're looking to grow and take on more staff, then you're going to have to look at promoting your business properly. And that's either going into the Yellow Pages or going digital.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, a few businesses around our estate over in Hursden, and I've looked at the websites and they haven't been updated since probably early 2000s. And you're like,
yeah,
I mean, is this... you're winding it down, or are you looking to grow, or because it's either one or the other.
Yeah,
no, I think they're paralysed with they don't want to get involved in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's quite a difficult process. So even though, for example, I'm in the starting a new business, blah 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 blah. I'm just writing the content.
But she won't tell us what it is.
It takes
what is it?
It takes time, Pip, to write content.
Yeah,
and I know lots of people would come to you as an agency and go, right, I want a website, or I want to get some digital presence. And then they hand it to you like they want nothing left to do until you come back to them with it.
Yeah.
And that's not the process.
I think Pip's done this way longer than I have. And I think that's what I've seen as well. And I do not understand, because we work on a massive relationship. So for us, it's like we never, if they gave that to us, we'd sort of look at them and go, thank you. Yeah, we can do something with this, but hey, we want to work with you. Like, what's the point in us doing something with you that you're never going to understand? Like, that
it's not just that. I think if you, within that example, you know, we've been there a number of times, and it creates the worst relationships with a client and an agency. You know, we are agencies. We're not miracle workers. And if that's the relationship you're looking to have with an agency, then it comes across that you don't care about your business or you don't understand. And for any amount of money you're paying an agency, why should they care more than you? Ultimately, it's your business, and you should be using them as an extension to your business. And the best relationships we have with clients are when it's like that, when we're speaking to them, like some of them we speak every day, you know, definitely weekly, and we need to feel, and it's nice for the guys and the team to be actually, you know, this client is actually really enthusiastic about their business, and that's really enthusiastic for me to work with them and help them with that. Being chucked some content and said, I'll get on with it, I'm not... If we wanted to go into that business and do it for ourselves, we would.
And I think that's also really important. Like not our guys. I think there's like different businesses up and down the UK who potentially work within marketing. But we all witness it firsthand. When you get immersed in a work in someone else's work and they succeed, you're succeeding. You see that celebration on Monday morning when the guys come into the office and they look at some results and they've done really, really well over the weekend and they have a mini party at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. What a way to start your working week! Mm-hmm. Like and that's the relationship that you need to have with your clients, because otherwise, as Pip's just said, like if there's no care and there's no attention from you, you can't expect someone else to pick up that care and attention and run the business for you. That's not what, that's not what you're paying
going
for.
Going back to like tying in what Paul was saying earlier about Gen Z and that kind of stuff, you know, they're very different with how they're approaching not just education and work, yeah. but like everything. And then soon enough, a lot of these people are going to be decision makers and control the budgets. And
yeah.
The way in which they pick suppliers and work with business is very different to how I would or people from a previous generation. And, you know, for us, for my generation, like if you didn't have a website, you don't exist. Yeah. Whereas now that's moved along. So if you're not on social and active, you don't yeah. exist. But actually that's now going to move forward. It's like if you're not doing video inside your business, you don't exist. It doesn't matter what size you are. We need to know what do your people stand for? What are they like? Could I work with you? And that's what matters. So these businesses not investing in digital are falling behind very quickly.
The interesting thing here, listening to the discussion that you're having, which is brilliant, again, being kind of old, the fact is that what you're discussing here is marketing. And what I mean by that is so many small businesses don't understand the difference between marketing and sales. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they think about marketing, they think sales. So therefore you get this, right, well, I'm going to post something, and if nobody buys something from me, then it's a waste of time, yeah? But the whole digital scene is a fundamental part of marketing and a brilliant part of marketing, because it enables you to do marketing that would have been well outside your budget even 20 years ago. Jobs in Kent, my company, we've just been advertising on Sky TV, yeah? Most people can't afford to do that, yeah? But we can get video coverage without it having to necessarily be on the TV. You put video content out on all kinds of platforms, so you can actually do TV advertising for next to nothing. Yeah. Yeah, compared to what it would cost you to advertise on TV. But most small businesses do not understand the effectiveness of marketing versus sales. They want an instant return. And marketing isn't about instant return. Mm-hmm. It's about establishing who you are, mm-hmm. what you are, what your brand values are, and getting your place in the market that get you referred eventually.
It's purpose and strategy, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's also worth thinking that actually digital has allowed to become a bit more of a blend for marketing and sales, because, you know, so many transactions now are happening online.
Yeah.
So someone can go from not knowing your brand to finding out about it, to liking it, to trying it, and then becoming a loyal customer all online.
Yeah.
And, you know, what ad or what channel do you attribute marketing and therefore another one sales? You know, it's all kind of blending into one. So actually it's the first time ever that you've been able to attribute, you know, a sale directly to a spend. You know, previously that wasn't possible. And I've read loads of research where, I can't remember who the guy was, but, you know, they used to do what we now call A/B testing, the same in mail catalogs. And they would literally try, like, even flipping coupons upside down to see how many housewives will tear them out and take them down to the shops and stuff like that. And, you know, they did all of that back in the day, but we don't have to wait weeks for that data to come in. You can wait an hour and you see Google Analytics.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But still, so many people don't use analytics.
Mm-hmm. The amount of websites that hasn't got Google Analytics installed or even the tracking and it's absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a core fundamental for any website right now to have. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't, I'd have to question
why
and who's done that and said that you didn't need it or didn't put it on there, because it should be the first thing that anyone installs within your...
Well, let's look at this. You guys as a digital agency, you are offering these services on behalf of businesses. Do you have any feel for what it is that makes so many small businesses... I'm kind of focusing on SMEs because that's where a lot of things happen these days and a lot of the growth is. and a lot of the issue is, have you got a feel for what it is that's stopping SMEs from fully embracing what they're doing? I mean, my view on it is lack of knowledge and fear are the two big stoppers, but I want to get your perspective on it.
I think definitely it's lack of knowledge and fear and being risk averse.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very common, despite these statistics being available and readily available and being able to measure stuff more than we've ever been able to measure anything before, the number of businesses that you can say, right, okay, you're spending £10 and getting £30 back, that are still seeing a digital spend as a spend and an expenditure.
A cost. Yeah, yeah.
Rather than an investment. Because if I said to you, Paul, give me £10, I'll give you £30 back, you're going to beg, borrow and steal as much money as you can so you can keep that return if possible. Yeah. But the number of businesses that approach it as in, oh, I don't want to put my costs up. And you're like, well, it's Google Analytics. We can show, you know, you can see this data. And I think that's, you know, but that comes under being risk averse. So, and that's how we've grown. So as well as a side note, as well as Digital Beans, I also run a brand of hair extensions, which I think, you know, with my wife.
Why did he look at me when he said that?
I mean, pretty spoiled.
I'm a user of his hair extensions. Yeah.
That's not good at all.
That's anti-marketing, mate.
a brand called Simply Hair. And, you know, we started that about 7 years ago and we literally borrowed and went into overdraft to get our first order in. It was on like £5,000 or something. And, you know, we're now 7 years in. We're employing like seven or eight people there as well. And, you know, we've grown 30% year on year. We haven't done a single trade show, haven't spent a single penny on traditional marketing. And that's just purely just relying on the numbers and putting more in. And, you know, we're not the only one. This company's doing way better than us as well and that are doing it purely on digital. So, I think it's fair.
It's odd, isn't it? It must come down to fear.
It's definitely fair. I mean, we had everything agreed with a client recently. I'm not going out book saying this. Everything agreed from budget. We had various meetings. It went through to the final stages. And I think the response to the email I got was something along the lines of, can you guarantee me this? And it's like, well, no. we worked to this and we're very proud to be working to this. And we gave them, you know, as much information as we can as to what we'd like to return and what we'd like to reach. Oh, but because you can't sign something and guarantee, I can't take this any further. And it's like, well, there's not much we can do more as a business we can do. You know, your company would be more, there'd be more awareness of it. You'll have more exposure through socials. You'll have this, you have that.
Especially when, as an agent, and a lot of agents are moving this way as well, but from the day one, we've run a 30-day non-30-day contract. So it's not, you're not tied in. So that's your guarantee. Yeah. If you don't like it, just drop it.
Walk away.
Despite that, it's still... Yeah, you still face that. You still get it.
It's kind of sad, isn't it? But you kind of understand why people fear these kind of things. But it's sad that you can see people missing opportunities to do stuff by that fear. Mm-hmm. And we haven't got much time left until we break for the newsroom. But, you know, it is part of the reason why we have low productivity in the UK is because we're not making full use of the digital environment that we have. You know, there are so many apps to help productivity, even bank, you know, bank accounts like Starling Card, Monzo Card, Coconut. There's dozens of them now where everything's digital, everything goes automatically into your bookkeeping system. You know, so many small businesses I know are always get thrown by having to do the admin, but you can get a bank account that does it for you, all on a card. I own a comparison site as well, and one of the things that we found when we first launched it was the people that we were aiming at were really bad at keeping appointments. So we put up automated calendar systems, and they're all going, oh, well, I use my diary. Yeah, but you're always late because you never look at your diary. Yeah, this sends you warnings to your phone that says you're supposed to be somewhere else tomorrow. Those kind of things are really powerful, but still it's sad that people don't make use of them.
Yeah.
We kind of running out of time, guys. So just before you go, is there anything that you need to tell us that you see coming down the pike, like MeWe, for instance?
I can guarantee MeWe is not. Well, it could be. We could be sat here next year talking about it.
Yeah. I'm going to get you back on the show next year, Ben. And
I can promise. If it is, I'll come back.
I'm the biggest influencer on MeWe, and you...
I told you so.
I mean,
Facebook chatbots is a big one.
Right.
There's going to be a massive crossover onto Facebook chatbots. You know, personality-led video is going to be huge.
Right.
And then you've also got conversion-first websites, I think, are the three main.
And even more, like you were saying earlier, I think even more transactions are going to go online. So, you know, have whatever the percentage is, whether it's 76 or less or whatever, more and more transactions are going to go online. And that includes B2B as well. So make sure you can take payments. Make sure you can go to a platform that supports that.
It's interesting.
Also, what was that personality thing again? Sorry?
Personality-led video. So just video that like is more fly on the wall, more like what we're doing, vlog. It's more personality-led instead of corporate, like an advertising.
Thank you so much, guys. If people want to find out more about Digital Beans, what's the best way to do that?
Definitely digitalbeans.agency.
Fantastic. Digitalbeans.agency. Check them out. Guys, thank you so much. Cheers. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom right now.
On the hour, Channel Radio News Update.